Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Again, Stuart Rosenthal joins me with the Beacon Bits. For those of you who don't know what that means, it's just a bit of the Beacon newspaper. And a little take on, bacon bits. You got it.
Oh, right. Is that what it's about?
Yeah. A little extra spice in the salad, a little extra flavor.
A little crunch.
You never can have enough bacon. So the Beacon is shining a light into the lives of many.
Yes.
So what do we have
lighting
this week?
Up the bacon on you. I thought we'd talk about some travel stories.
Travel's
good.
In fact,
our managing editor, I probably should have brought Barbara with me today, went to California recently, and she wrote up a very nice story about Monterey and that part of California between San Francisco and Los Angeles, the Monterey Peninsula. It has four primary towns, incredibly beautiful. They each have very interesting backgrounds and lots of celebrities and connections that people want to hear about. Mm-hmm. So I'll start with Carmel by the Sea, not to be confused with the actual city of Carmel, but this little town, Carmel by the Sea, 3,800 residents. That's the one Clint Eastwood used to be mayor of, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the whole thing is it's like a fairy tale. It's a thatched roof, cottages with stone chimneys and a very quirky kind of place where they don't allow any chain stores or, chain restaurants where women can't wear heels more than 2 inches high. They have all these kind of crazy rules.
Wow.
There are no house numbers or street lights. Directions are like the fourth house on the right after the whatchamacallit. You know, it's just a whole different feel to it.
Huh.
But it's charming, apparently, and has wonderful restaurants. Dogs are free to, like, roam almost everywhere. In fact, Doris Day, the animal lover, a famous actress, has a restaurant and a hotel there called the Cypress Inn, where dogs are allowed to just run free everywhere. They're invited to the restaurant and to the tea room and everything. You just bring your pets with you everywhere you go. So
no idea.
Interesting
wow.
place.
Yeah.
There's another place called Pebble Beach. Now that's known mostly for its three fantastic golf courses. If you're into golf, the three of the top 10 courses in the nation are in this little town.
Mm-hmm.
They overlook the ocean, the Pacific Ocean. They're incredibly gorgeous. But be prepared for the green fees that range from $350 to $400 per 18 hole.
Wow.
So you get what you pay for. But it's supposed to be one of those beautiful places in the country, if not the world. It also is located at the end of 17-mile drive, which is supposed to be one of the most scenic drives in the world. You got to pay $10 to go down the road, though. It's the only private toll road in the country.
So you pay $10 to drive down the road. To right. then pay $350 to $400 to play the golf,
something like that.
So
bring your checkbook, your traveler's checks or whatever.
Here's to virtual reality. Okay, right?
Yeah. See how the other half lives by spending everything you got.
Sounds nice though.
Yeah, if you like monarch butterflies, then the place to go is Pacific Grove, where each October. Apparently, thousands and tens of thousands of monarch butterflies winter at the Monarch Grove Sanctuary. So that's quite an unusual thing there. And then finally, there's the Monterey itself, which is a more than 400-year-old town. Has one of the biggest draws, I guess, is the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Has a million-gallon tank that depicts the open ocean. It has a three-story deep-sea display that shows aquatic life that you wouldn't see anywhere close to the surface, but that they have brought up and have in this incredible display. This is also the place where John Steinbeck lived and wrote Cannery Row, which is takes place in Monterey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's the National Steinbeck Center, which is the largest facility devoted to a single American author in the country. 37,000 square foot.
37,000?
Yep.
Square feet?
Yep.
Right. That's massive.
Isn't it something?
Wow.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of wonderful things to see there. It's really quite an impressive area, and I can't wait to go.
Now, is that museum for both mice and men?
Well, let me see. They have the hotel that's both for dogs and people, so maybe they have the Steinbeck Center for mice and men.
Hold on. I got to get my red pony over here. All right. And so much more of the Eric Stewart Show coming up in just a moment. Stuart Rosenthal just joined me from the Beacon newspaper. Stuart is the editor. The Beacon newspaper is the local publication for everybody 50 and over. Pick up your free copy all over the place or go to thebeaconnewspapers.com for more info. Stuart, here on the Eric Stewart Show, every Christmas, we've been doing a special Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me that I've never asked you if, and maybe even covered Hanukkah as a holiday.
Uh-huh.
And I've wanted to do it, but I kind of blow past it every year because I don't celebrate it personally.
Right.
but it's an important part of our heritage mm-hmm. here in America. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like, would you mind taking some time right now and maybe sharing the history of Hanukkah?
Oh, all right.
With our audience?
Sure.
I think I would like to know more.
Okay.
And I think there are probably other people who would like to know more, too.
Yeah.
What's the history behind
Hanukkah?
I imagine
Hanukkah? It's not that well known in general.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you might know about it, I guess, is that it's the Festival of Lights, and mm-hmm. Jews light what's called a menorah. Mm-hmm. It's a nine-branched candelabra, right? It has eight candles, one for each night of the eight-night holiday, and the ninth one for the candle that you use to light all the other ones with. And each night of the holiday, your first night you start with one candle, second night two, then three, then four, and the last night you have this blazing menorah. And in our family, and a lot of families, every member of the family has their own menorah. So it's a really, you know, it's a real festival of lights when you get to the last night of Hanukkah.
Okay.
It's really, the whole house is bursting with light. So what is it celebrating is the real question, I guess, that you're asking.
Yes.
So it's interesting. It's the only Jewish holiday that's not really a biblical holiday. It's not commanded by God. It's a historical holiday, one that the rabbis instituted. And it has to do with a particular historical event where basically, the Jews defeated an enemy that was trying to outlaw Judaism and put an end to it.
Hmm.
And we won,
hmm.
Which was, of course, a miracle.
Right.
So the story goes as follows, I guess, if I'll put it all together. You know, we had the King David, King Solomon, you know, the whole story of the Jewish kings and the Jewish in land of Israel, and we went in for 500 years with the first temple.
Mm-hmm.
Then the first temple was destroyed, and the Jews were exiled to Babylonia,
mm-hmm.
right? And amazingly, within 70 years, the Babylonians changed hands, and a new king came up, and he said, go back and rebuild your temple and go back to your land. You can have it back. I'm not going to keep you here.
Was that King Xerxes?
That was, Darius and Xerxes. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Jews returned to their land and rebuilt the temple and rededicated it and started all over again, right? So
mm-hmm.
that was the second temple period. About 300 years into the second temple, as I understand it, this might not be totally exactly right, Alexander the Great had sort of divided up, had conquered the world and divided it up, right? And there
mm-hmm.
were the Ptolemies in Egypt, there were Seleucids in Syria. There was a third general who had another part, you know, after Alexander died. Anyway, there were fights between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. So originally, the land of Israel was under the sway of the Ptolemies in Egypt. But then the king of Syria, Antiochus Epiphanes, he invaded and took it away from the Egyptians. He conquered basically Ptolemy, I think, and got those territories. So now he controls those. For a little while there, they let Jews do what they were doing and have their own land and do what they were doing and have mm-hmm. their temple and whatnot. But his son came into power and decided to invade Jerusalem and take over the temple and outlaw Judaism. So he massacred thousands of Jews, totally looted and destroyed the temple. I mean, it took everything out of the temple and then built an altar to Zeus and started sacrificing pigs. I mean, just doing anything he possibly could to be the exact opposite of what Judaism stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting so horrible. You couldn't teach Judaism to your kids, and you couldn't practice any of the. I mean, they would kill you on sight for doing anything along those lines.
Hmm.
So there was a revolt. The high priest Mattathias, Matisyahu, not the rapper, but the high priest at the time, and his sons. Uh-huh. He had five sons. Uh-huh. Led a rebellion, and amazingly, within 2 years, they defeated the Syrian army and kicked them out of Israel. And for the next 100 years or so, the Jews were left alone. And that was really an incredible experience, right?
Did you say that the Jews defeated the Syrian army?
That's right.
And here we are.
Here we are. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the Syrians in those days were a lot bigger than the Syrians are today. I mean, it was a third of the known world at the time. It was a huge empire.
I see.
But a lot of the things that we do on Hanukkah, you know, relate to the story that is told in the Talmud, which is why we have the menorah and the 8 days and the whole thing. And
mm-hmm.
that is that when the Jews went back into the temple to rededicate it, clean it up, clean all the pig stuff out
mm-hmm.
and rebuild everything, clean it all up and make it pretty again, mm-hmm. they found, you know, there was the eternal light that always is lit every day and lasts, you know, burns over the altar. And there was only one little tiny bit of kosher oil available to light it with. All the rest had been destroyed, but they found one little tiny bit. It was only good for one day. But they and it's going to take them 8 days to make more oil and you know, squeeze the olives and get the or whatever it was, the whole process. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, let's at least get it started here. So they lit the light, and it lasted the whole 8 days until they had fresh oil. So that is where the 8 days of the holiday comes from. That's where the eight candles comes from. That's also where the custom to eat a lot of oily food comes from. Latkes, potato latkes, mm-hmm. and donuts known as sufganiyot, a lot of you know things fried in oil. You know, not good for your diet, but you know it's part of the holiday. So that's
fabulous. Stuart, thank you.
Sure.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you so much.
Happy Hanukkah to all of our friends here at the Eric Stewart Show. And we got to take another quick break.
Understood.
Well, happy Hanukkah to you, and happy Hanukkah to all of our listeners who are enjoying and celebrating Hanukkah. L'chaim.